The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Well, welcome to the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen. I'm Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening here today. Youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com for your emails and questions to Dr. Mike, our guests and our experts today. Dr. Mike, you're ready to go. How are you?
I am ready to go, and I'm here with Bridget, who's joined us as a regular since she helps me with the news of the week. So Bridget's
Hello.
Here, too.
Fantastic. Tell me about the guest at 34 past the hour. His name is
Mike Marino.
Dr. Mike Marino, right.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad because he uses the Dr. Mike thing, but I'm young Dr. Mike, even though he's 23 years my junior. He wrote the New York Times number one bestseller, The 17-Day Diet, and this is a follow-up. The 17-Day Plan to Stop Aging. He's a family practitioner from San Diego, works for Kaiser Permanente.
Kaiser Permanente. Okay, so the number is 17, the 17-Day Diet, the 17-Day Plan to Stop Aging. I wonder what's the magic in the number, 17.
Well, we'll have to ask and find out.
Okay, so that'll be coming up at 34 past the hour. Dr. Mike Marino, The 17-Day Plan to Stop Aging. If you want to buy the book, it's published by the Free Press. It's a division of Simon & Schuster. Some of the top medical stories of the week we'll be getting to today in the show. The CDC is urging boomers to test for hepatitis C. Listen, if you think we're fat now, stick around with 2030. You won't believe some of the numbers we'll talk about. Midweek meltdown could be a problem for that. And got a weight loss tip for you, too, coming up, which is pretty simple. And maybe a weight loss tip you probably wouldn't think would be a weight loss tip. So those are some of the top medical news stories of the week. I've come up with a couple myself. I have that assignment every week to come up with a couple of health stories and wellness stories on my own. How about the Real Age tip of the week for the first hour, Dr. Mike?
It fits with Dr. Mike Marino's book. It is Live Longer with These Six Simple Steps. And hopefully we'll get to all six in the minute and a half we have.
You're a fast talker. I know you can do it.
I'll try.
The pressure's on.
Let's see. Okay, so youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Good morning, America Coast. Robin Roberts had her bone marrow transplant this week in New York City and is out of surgery and resting. She has a bit of a recovery coming up since she's had 8 days of chemo before the operation to get her body ready for the transplant. She has a rare blood disorder. What is that? Can you tell us more about that?
Well, let's first talk about her and the, if you will, the what the process was. If you saw, they wiped out her bone marrow. And I don't know if you saw her pictures. They actually had her on the air from inside her captive room, so to speak, at the hospital, and she looked really wiped out. She looked really wiped out. Somehow my computer started sounding automatically, but she looked really wiped out, which is what happens. They essentially eliminate her total bone marrow, so she has no cells carrying oxygen that are new. They're all old cells. And what you hope to do with this is then retransplant, hope it takes and succeeds in getting it. She has MDS, which is a bone marrow disorder, myelodysplastic syndrome, which really affects her cells or her bone marrow, so she needs to get a new set of cells. Myelodysplastic syndrome came probably because of the therapy for her breast cancer that has wiped out part of her bone marrow or her bone marrow's way of producing cells. So you have to wipe out the immune system, you wipe out a whole bunch of other stuff with the chemotherapy beforehand, and then you repopulate her bone marrow with someone else's and pray that it takes.
They replace all of her bone marrow?
They eliminate all of her current bone marrow. So all they do is give her what is equivalent of a transfusion. You get a pack of blood delivered through a vein, and these are, if you will, bone marrow cells. They're cells that go to her bone marrow and then hopefully start to populate it, start to multiply, that is, to make more of themselves. And as they do, they make more cells for her, and hopefully they make enough, they populate enough, so that she ends up with a normal bone marrow, even though it isn't hers.
No way of telling then, right?
Well, all of a sudden, it'll come sometime in the next 30 days. We hope that it takes, and bingo, she gets red cells and white cells and platelets, and everything goes through. The first 30 days, hopefully the cells, what they call set up shop, that is, they get ready to produce other cells. They get into your bone marrow. They start enjoying it, living there. And that's what you hope. Sometimes none of them work. So you have to do it again, and hopefully the person's still alive, and do it again. It's not this has some real risk of both not working, and then if it does work, you have risk, and that's why you need matches. You have a risk of what we call graft versus host reaction, where the new cells turn on Robin herself and kill her, the rest of her body. So that's why you do the match, and it's a touch and go, but it's gotten a lot better, and that's why you eradicate all her current immune cells so that they don't trigger battles against one another.
The recovery has got to be pretty extensive, right?
Yeah, and all of a sudden, what happens with these people is they're really feeling lousy and horrible and miserable, and then all of a sudden, the cells kick in, and magically, they start to feel good, eat again, and they get incredibly better.
8 days of chemo. It must be very difficult to deal with.
Oh, man. If you saw her on the picture, yeah. She was, and and the way she was, I said, this is kind of torture that they're doing this to her.
Yeah.
Seemed to me torture, but she seemed to take it in stride. But, man, all she wanted to do was sleep, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. And all the best to her. On top of what we just talked about, something I found this week, new data suggesting an overhaul is needed in our country's organ donor program. Between 26 and 2,800 kidneys were discarded over the past 5 years without being transplanted, essentially wasted. In some cases, there were problems discovered in some of the kidneys that made them unacceptable for transplant. But I guess surgeons think if the government system for allocating organs were better run, then the right organs could be matched to the perfect patient.
It's not a government system. It's a private, if you will, the organ transplant community set up their own. And obviously, when they set it up, there were, envy, and, one hospital system was fighting with another. So, and they wanted to keep it regional so that Oklahoma would keep its organs and Iowa wouldn't get Oklahoma's organs. So there were a lot of this craziness. So it isn't the government system. It's actually a system that got set up by the organ transplant community. And like everything else, when some humans with vested interest, that is the transplant surgeons, got to set it up, they wanted to keep the organs for their area so they could transplant their patients preferentially. Well, that means it's not as good for sharing them across the world.
Yeah, so I guess a computer simulation shows that redesigning the current system, whoever it's operated by, could add 10,000 collective years of life from just 1 year of transplants. But that's between 26 and 2,800 kidneys discarded without being transplanted. Again, essentially wasted. All right, coming up in the next segment, we'll go through some of the top medical news stories of the week, so stay around for that. Interesting stories. It's going to be harder to opt out of immunizations in one state here in this country, and some of the best birth control methods for teenage girls. Some doctor group says we'll talk about that coming up as well. Top medical stories of the week next. Do the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Roizen.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Joe Galewski and Dr. Deb Lonser, and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Yeah, Dr. Deb ought to be back soon to the show. I'm Joe Galewski with Dr. Mike Roizen on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs @gmail.com on the email. There's a study out, Dr. Mike, that predicts a pretty dismal adult obesity forecast by 2030.
Yeah, what it does is it takes the current risk or the current obesity in the United States, that is the rates of obesity, especially in kids, and it says what's going to happen by 2030. So it says instead of being about 35%, 30 to 35% now, it says 44% will be obese. You say 44% isn't much, but it's almost half of us. And in the 13 worst states, 60% of the residents will fit the criteria of obesity, which really jacks up the healthcare prices because we all share in care. And obesity causes, with a 17-year lag, type 2 diabetes, 25-year lag, heart disease, 35-year lag, cancer. You survive that dementia. On the way, you end up with hip and knee and joint problems. So it's very expensive. We don't care what it looks like. What is mainly the problem is the medical costs and the non-competitiveness that makes the United States, because it's a shared cost, obviously. So, if you will, the unhealthiest states are also the ones that have the lowest consumption of fruit and vegetables. And the key, they said in this study, was targeting children to get them more physical activity and healthier diets. We're clearly doing that in Cleveland, at least with the diets. We're not getting the physical activity because the thing that gets cut in all the school systems as money gets short is phys ed and the arts, music.
One of the local schools here in Syracuse decided to cut recess. One of the elementary schools decided to cut recess, and the reason was because there's not enough time to teach kids to testing. A lot of the school, in New York State, a lot is demanded now of teachers to teach to tests, state-required tests, which in turn contributes to this new state evaluation for teachers. A lot of teachers now being evaluated on test scores, kids, and frankly, it's dumb. To me, it's crazy because a lot of these teachers, frankly, teachers can't do fun things with kids anymore because there's so much pressure on these teachers to teach to these state-mandated tests, and because they say they don't have enough time in the day to teach the required, you know, things for these tests, that recess is one of the things that has to go. I think it's insanity.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that. You know, the kids learn better, so the teaching to the test would be better. They would get higher grades if they had physical activity. And to my surprise, physical activity early in the day means they learn better the rest of the day. There's some really good data on that. And kids with a lower body mass index, if you take the same kids in third grade to fifth grade, those that reduce their body mass index, Cleveland, we did the study here at the Cleveland Clinic at Lake Public Schools on the basis of Lake Hospital helping us. That is, the Lakeview Hospital and the Cleveland Clinic system did this with the community outreach and the Wellness Institute. It turns out the kids who reduce their body mass index up their grades and vice versa. So very important to control obesity because it is a key component of helping the kids learn, and very important to get physical activity back in. You and I know, talked about this on your radio show on Tuesday morning, but I think it was a good idea to bring it back here because it is such an important thing to help kids stay thinner and more physically active. Actually helps their intellectual development as
right.
well.
Some of the local television stations did this for the first, you know, at the beginning of the school year, for the first couple of weeks, no recess. And some of these schools, elementary schools, through community efforts, built new playgrounds. I mean, they're beautiful playgrounds that these elementary schools had, and they were just empty. You know, I mean, nobody was using them. They're just beautiful, all the latest things that kids like to play on and climb on, and they weren't being used. And to me, that was just such a sad thing to see. But they did hold a board meeting a week, and the parents were upset that they learned about it on, I think, the first day of school through a letter. Nothing was mentioned about it prior, so they were upset about that, and they were also upset, you know, that the kids weren't getting their recess. So they had a board meeting, and a lot of parents, concerned parents, angry parents, showed up and voiced their displeasure. And as a result, they put recess back in. So I just don't understand what the thinking is of some of these school administrations when they come up with these, you know, decisions. Do they think these things out? you know, to the best of, for the benefit of everybody, you know, especially the kids, right?
Well, the good news about the process is it seemed to work and get it back in the schools.
Right.
So we should congratulate the parents in Syracuse for doing that.
Right. By the way, back to the obesity story we talked about. The fattest state in the nation, do you know what it is?
Well, it used to be Mississippi.
It
and
is.
Mississippi and Louisiana always vie for the fattest state in the nation.
Yeah, it is Mississippi. Is Mississippi, and the report said that two-thirds of that state's adults, two-thirds, will be obese by 2030, and that would be an incredible jump from the current obesity rate of 35%.
And by the way, the real problem with this is the disease that comes along with it and the disability, because obesity does contribute to overall disability. And that really is, I mean, it's a horrible thing. There's a great new film out called Finding Thin, and how you can find thin. It was a guy who got overweight in his youth, and how he found thin as he went through and he interviewed all the doctors, et cetera. It's a very nice film showing that what... you know, I'm saying this because it showed what Dr. Oz and I are doing and Lisa Oz are doing with HealthCore and a whole bunch of others now is a great way of changing the health of the nation. So do start in the schools with healthier food, resilience, and physical activity, and it will really make a huge difference.
Today, 36% of Americans are obese. That's the percentage, 36%. Before we go to the break and the guest, a quick weight loss tip could be sleep. Pretty interesting. How about sleep for a weight loss tip?
Well, the interesting thing is if you don't get enough sleep, you tend to eat and crave carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates, added sugar, added syrups, etc. And so the people who sleep actually lose weight. So the good news about this is that if you sleep normally, and in fact, if you get the right amount of sleep, do you know the nights we sleep least for, Joe?
The nights we sleep
least on, as a country.
Probably a weekend.
No, we sleep least on Wednesday and Thursday nights.
Okay.
And this is looking at 100,000 participants, and that causes, in fact, the midweek blahs, if they said, because if we slept more, we would get less depression. Lack of sleep increases the risk of adults having obesity by about 50%. Children, it doubles the risk. So if you got between 6.5 and 8.5 hours, you cut your caloric intake a day by about 60 calories, or in a two-week period, you lose a pound if you're getting the right amount of sleep.
The only reason why I said Saturday is because we all know of Dr. Deb Lonser's social calendar every weekend, and that's the only reason why.
Well, she's not here to defend herself or to tell us how great this book is this week.
That's all I'll say about that anyway. All right, coming up is our guest segment every year, every month, every day, every hour, every minute you're alive. You are getting older. How to prevent that, or at least talk about the 17-day plan to stop aging. It's our guest, Dr. Mike Marino. He's up next on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Royson. Stay with us, and thanks for listening today.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And our show brought to you every week by Morning and Out Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Thank you for listening today. You know, every year, every month, every day, every hour, every minute, we're alive. We're getting older, no matter how old we are. Our bodies undergo changes that could lead to, well, less energy, painful joints, droopy skin, unsightly wrinkles, and, you know, declining health. But what if somebody told you that getting older and the physical process of aging don't have to be so closely all put together? And what if you had the ability to slow down the aging of your body so much that it actually could live to be, as they say, to be 100 and maybe older than that? Wouldn't you like that? Well, let's find out. Dr. Mike Marino is here. He's the author of the 17-day plan to stop aging. It's published by Simon & Schuster. Dr. Marino, we're happy to have you. Welcome to the show here today.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate the opportunity. I love to sort of reach as many people as we can, and I just, you know, I love having conversations about this.
This is going to be great. Now then, the 17-day diet, the 17-day plan to stop aging. I want to know what the significance of the number is, 17.
So you guys, I know very, very well know the idea and the concept of a 21-day habit. It takes 21 days to sort of form a habit. And 2 years ago, initially when I did the 17-day diet, the concept there was essentially that not allowing your body to become efficient. And, you know, we always think of efficient as a good term, as a positive thing, and efficiency seems to be good. when your body becomes efficient and becomes sort of lazy and can do what it needs to do by burning less calories, it can sort of equate to a plateauing effect in terms of weight loss and eventually, you know, weight increase. And so, and I'm sure many people out there have been through that sort of situation where they say, you know, I started this diet, it was going great, I was losing weight, and about 2 to 3 weeks into it, I stopped losing weight, and then I actually started gaining weight. And so the concept, you know, 2 to 3 weeks or 17 days, I shot for the middle, is basically arranged around that. And it's probably the one time where efficiency is maybe not going to work in your favor.
All right, sounds like a plan. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
So 17 days, there are 4 17-day cycles, and this fits with a question that Marty asked us. And somehow we normally have women outnumber men in the questions by about 8 to 1, but today we've got a bunch of male questions for you. Maybe they like 17 rather than 21. But anyway, Mike, or Dr. Marino.
Oh, Mike's easier.
Marty asked, can the 4 17-day things be done at once, or why is there a cycle, and can you do each of the 17-day things at once, or is there a reason for the order you have chosen?
So there is a great question, first of all. You know, foundationally, the cycles are arranged to build upon each other. And so in cycle one, the restore cycle, I focused on what I feel are the three most critical organ systems in the body, that being the brain or central nervous system, the heart, and lungs. And those three amazing groups work together, but they really can sort of serve as the foundation. And so the restore cycle really helps to ensure that you need, or that those three organ systems, you know, the function of them is restored to its maximal function. Now, here's the small caveat to that is that, you know, each organ system has a test that you take to sort of assess where exactly you are. I mean, some of us may be strong from a cardio standpoint or from a pulmonary standpoint. Some of us may be a little weaker. So the concept is really to establish the foundation of those three organ systems. Do the pre-test and post-test, and that's what I would advise because that really gives you an idea of where you sit. We may be sort of better in one than another, and we can sort of focus our efforts on the other. But as you go through cycles 2, 3, and 4, it starts to build upon the foundational of those three organ systems. So you get into the musculoskeletal. It really sort of, one necessitates the other, is probably the best way to say it. I think before you can really start to build on the musculoskeletal system and enhance the male and sexual function, you know, sort of organ systems, those other three, the heart, lungs, and central nervous system, really need to be concrete and solid. And it's more of a foundation. So it's kind of like building a house. You know, you have to establish the foundation. You have to do your homework and get a strong base using those three organ systems. But as you go through, I think some people are just going to find that they may be stronger in one portion than another, and they may not have to spend as much time. But
By spending as much time, do you mean they shortcut the 17 days?
No, or I mean they 17 days. What you'll do is when you do the pretest, it will sort of give you an idea of where you lie. And you may test, you know, high enough to the point to there may be just some fine-tuning you need, but not a lot of really heavy-duty work. So you may not really need to work a lot on some of those organ systems. But I think it's a good idea to go through the entire system because at the end of the day, you guys well know that the body, the way it functions, is all sort of this tremendous interlaced system between so many different systems and different organ, you know, functions that it's kind of good to sort of establish the foundation and then work from that direction.
Now, one of the things that we get a lot of questions on, and it's probably because our audience has a lot of maturity in it, so to speak, mm-hmm. is it used to be we would get questions on the cardiovascular system, but now we're getting more questions on the brain. Mm-hmm. So Gary says, can he summarize for me what I should do to keep my brain? My brain's still functioning fine at 64, but I want it to function fine at 104. How do I make sure I do that?
Well, I'll tell you, Gary, that portion is very near and dear to my heart because my mom, I've watched her develop sort of, you know, dementia-type symptoms over the last 3 to 5 years, and it's progressed. And this is a woman who's now 86 and physically quite healthy, but sort of, she taught for 45 years, and she was just a very, very bright lady, and she still is. But I think what happens, and I'll never forget, one of my neurology professors when I was in med school told me that exercising the brain is just as important as exercising the heart. So going back to Gary's question, it really involves changing what you do. And it's down to the basics. And take your typical day where you have your routine and switch it up. Learn a new language. Drive a different way to the store. Drive a different way to work. Drive a different way to meet your friends. Reading different magazines. Trying different foods.
Now, you also have mid-morning provide 3 minutes of shadow boxing.
Right.
And then practice your meditation. And then there's also something called a... what is this, a fire breathing?
Right. The dragon breathing.
Dragon breathing.
Right.
What's dragon breathing?
These are all other, things that the breath of fire and all these other things are just ways to sort of clear your mind. But I think going to Gary's question where he says, how do I maintain my level of functioning? I think it's continuing to be extremely active, and I think it's continuing to do the things that obviously has maintained his level of function as it is now, but enhancing it by doing different things, and perhaps doing the things that he does now in a different way. And it's really everyday stuff. And I tell people, just for fun one day, drive a different way to work. Challenge yourself differently to sort of, we just get so on autopilot these days that our brain kind of becomes efficient, and here's where that efficiency thing can be detrimental rather than helpful.
Now, I said you would tell us what the dragon breathing is. I just tweeted it, so you're going to have to tell me what dragon breathing is.
Okay, so the breath of fire is what you're referring to, and it has to do with some of the breathing techniques in terms of yoga. And the way I best can tell people to do this is it's really more of a relaxation exercise and to really sort of relax the body and relax the mind. And what you want to do is you want to start sort of by panting, almost like a dog would be doing, and rapidly. And as you start to do that, you eventually close your mouth and you start to do those rapid breaths in through your nose. So if you can imagine a dog panting and then closing the mouth and maintaining that sort of rapid breathing but through your nose, and almost sort of like, and in the book I talk about sort of blowing out a fire under your nose, but it's that same but through the nose. And what it does is it really does a lot to relax you, to help you focus on one thing, which, again, what meditation is all about is just focusing your mind and your thoughts on one thing.
We'll be back with more on that with Dr. Mike Marino coming up. Stay with us. Don't go away.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community, businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, Fresh Healthy Vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-226-5454. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking Fresh Healthy Vending franchise today. 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
If any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated.
Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike Royson's Real Age Tip of the Week for the first hour coming up in just a couple of minutes, but a few more minutes with our guest, Dr. Mike Marino. His book is called The 17-Day Plan to Stop Aging by Simon and Schuster. Here's Dr. Mike Royson. Dr. Mike.
And one of the things Dr. Mike Marino has in his book is the number one strategy, fight glycation. Mike, what do you mean by that? And tell us about how the different sugars play into that and sugar substitutes, maybe. We get a survey. This is part of the answer to his question is, talk to me about sugar substitutes.
Sure. So, you know, glycation is a process that I think most easily is defined is sort of how our body processes sugar and protein and what these molecules do as we ingest them. And in the book, I talk about sort of using shampoo without conditioner and your hair is just this tangled mess. And so when you're taking in some of these more processed, and there, you hear people talk about the sort of the white flour products, white rice, white bread, white pastas, I think that's the best way to describe it. When you take in a lot of these things, the way that those things get processed and broken down, so the protein and carbohydrate contents, can sort of create a lot of problems. And the biggest thing that I think it does is it affects the flexibility and sort of creates stiffness in really all of your tissues. And so glycated tissues oftentimes can become very stiff. They can sort of age more quickly and become less resilient to other things. And you guys mentioned it before, it can even make us look older. It can cause wrinkles due to these glycation end products. So the idea is really to ingest proper carbohydrates. And listen, carbs can be great for us. We just need to look at the types of carbs, the time and intake of when we're having them, and again, portion control. And you hear people talk about that all the time. I think carbs are great if you're taking the whole wheats, the grains, the brown white rice, the wheat pasta. And I think what it does is when you're ingesting these along with your protein portion of your meals, it creates a better synergy that reduces this glycation process. And when you have sort of a reduction in this glycation process, What it does is it leads to less damage of your tissues. And again, this applies to the brain, to the heart, to the lungs. And it really has a profound effect in terms of improving the efficiency.
Yeah, and let's talk about the... So one of the things is you're going to decrease sugary foods, obviously, and go more towards whole grain. And the second part of Sergey's question is, what about sugar substitutes?
You know, sugar substitutes, I think, in moderation, are okay. I think that really when you go back and you look at this big discussion about sugar substitutes and going back to some of the initial ones that they cause cancer and all these things, I don't know that to me the literature is very clear that that's the case. I think in moderation, I think they're okay. And I also think that in moderation there are other things you can use to sort of sweeten up whatever it may be. I use a lot of fruits and that sort of natural sugar to create sweetness in a lot of the things.
Now,
going to his question, I would say that sugar substitutes in moderation are fine. And if you're using other things that are more natural forms of sugar, I think it's probably a better way to go. But I really don't, I'm not really convinced on the literature that they're so taboo. It's kind of like the whole thing with eggs so many years ago. And eggs got such a bad, in my opinion anyway, I think eggs got a really bad rap going back years and years ago.
Now, Rita asks about air quality, and she said she got the book, and it has a chapter on air quality, and she wants to know, how do you possibly clean up the air around you, and how do you defend against allergies and all the things that you sleep on your bed about, et cetera?
Right. So, you know, air quality is a large discussion, and there are so many elements of air quality that we don't have control over. You know, we can't possibly live in a bubble. We can't walk around in a spacesuit. And she's right. To some extent, there are controllable and uncontrollable factors in terms of air quality. So I think if you're someone who is allergen sort of sensitive and you're someone who sort of can learn about what really causes your problems in terms of allergies, you take some of the steps in terms of a lot of the covers, the dust covers and dust mites. But for everybody, that's extremely variable. And I think a lot of environmental impact in terms of air quality is really difficult. I think that's a big global thing that we're all working on. But, you know, everybody sort of learns what they're allergic to, what they're intolerant to perhaps. And, you know, a lot of just, you know, the cleanliness around the house and air filter qualities, making sure that your filters, a lot of people don't change the air filters in their air conditioning units in their homes. Simple things like that can really go a long way.
We've been talking with Dr. Mike Marino. The book is The 17-Day Plan to Stop Aging. It is by the author of the New York Times number one best-selling 17-Day Diet. Dr. Mike Marino talks about four cycles. You can find out all about it at his website, which is the 17daydiet.com. Is that right?
Yep, you got it.
The17daydiet.com or Dr. Mike Diet, DrMike, different Dr. Mike, DIET.com. It's a book by Simon & Schuster. Wonderful read. It's well written, as well as has important information in it. That's the 17-Day Diet Plan to Stop Aging. Thanks very much, Dr. Marino,
for
being on with us.
Hey, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Joe?
All right, let's finish the hour up. He's got to work quickly. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
And we're going to follow up on Dr. Mike Marino's book sections with these six simple steps to live longer. So the Real Age Tip of the Week, six simple steps to live longer. I'm going to go through it very quickly. One, visit a dental pro every 6 months and floss every day. That's right. Gum disease causes body-wide inflammation that increases your risk for heart problems, heart attack, stroke, and chest pain, as well as increases your risk of clots elsewhere. Two, take two baby aspirin a day. Check with your doctor first. 162 milligrams to decrease inflammation and decrease 9 cancers. Three, aim for 3 servings of, I love this, salmon or trout a week. Four, do 4 sessions of cardio and resistance training every week. You don't have to do the intense training every day, but get 4 sessions a week. Five, eat five small fistfuls of nuts, especially walnuts. They're the ones with the omega-3 in them, every week. And 6 Gopher Joe. That's right. You'll delay or help prevent dementia and Alzheimer's with 2 or more cups of caffeinated coffee a week. The more coffee a day, the better. You can even get it in caffeinated water. You get even bigger benefits with up to 6 small cups, that's 8 ounces or less. Skip this longevity booster if caffeine triggers migraines, anxiety, gastric upset, insomnia, or abnormal heartbeats. Joe.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week. There's another one coming up in the second hour. Coming up in the second hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist, and Dr. Arthur Perry. We call it Straight Talk from the Docs. And more of Dr. Mike Royzen, too. And your emails and questions, udocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royzen. Thanks for listening.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.